Acts chapter 19, verse 2, it says, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" He asked them. Now, this is Paul, right? Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus, and if you look back at verse 1, you know, they were already believers. He knew they were saved. And he's saying, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit?" And he's talking specifically about the baptism of the Holy Spirit in their lives. So we've been through a couple of different words associated with the Holy Spirit for the last number of weeks. Because what I find out is that a lot of believers, we're good with God the Father. We can relate to that. I mean, some people maybe had didn't know their earthly father, or they had a bad experience, so maybe they have a struggle relating to God the Father as the perfect dad, you know, as the one, you know, as a father should be. But we can still grasp the idea of God the Father. Jesus, super easy. I mean, we know that he's God the Son, that he's our Savior, that he died on the cross for our sins. I mean, if you've been in church any amount of time, you know he is the way to the Father. You know, the Bible says in John 14:6 that "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man or woman or person comes to the Father except through him who is the Son." And so we're good at that. And then we get to the Holy Spirit, and it's just kind of, the word that always comes to my mind is ominous, mysterious. Oh, you have to be really close to God to really have him present in your life. But that is not the case. It's not how it's meant to be. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, was never meant to be somebody who's just out of reach or that we just know is there. But he is supposed to be an intimate, close, real, personal, any other adjective I can use to describe him, close friend in our lives. Every single day, every step we take. This is what it talks about in Romans chapter 8, where it says that we are to live a life guided and led by the Holy Spirit. I believe it's talking about baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment as we get into it, but just a little more recap. So in week one, a number of weeks ago, we talked about Pentecost. And a lot of people associate the word Pentecostal with crazy, wacko Christians that are led by the Holy Spirit. But we, as we know, it means 5 times 10. And we know Pentecost was a festival that took place 50 days after Passover. And it was on that day, as we read in the book of Acts, where the Holy Spirit was poured out on the 120 believers that were in the upper room waiting as Jesus asked them and told them to wait. Then we talked about just the Holy Spirit in general a couple weeks later. And again, that word Holy Spirit, if you're an old timer, which I'm an old timer, so you're all old timers, so I'm just not trying to... Anyways, you hear Holy Ghost or Holy Ghost rollers, and again, you get this idea of a ghost figure, but understand in the Old Testament and New Testament, you have these words that really mean wind or breath, and how it's the Holy Spirit. He is the one that is constantly blowing on our lives and refreshing us, and how we need him in our lives every single day. Just as we breathe in breath into our lungs for life, so the Holy Spirit is that spiritual breath, and honestly, for that matter, physical breath too, that we need to have constantly going through us. Amen. A couple weeks ago, I preached on the word charismatic. And again, this is another one of these words that people think, crazy, wacko Christians. But what it means is a gift of grace. You know, and that God has a spiritual gifting ability for each and every one of us. There's not a single person who confesses Christ as Lord that he has not planned and ordained you for a gift. And that gift is not just for yourself, but it has a purpose. A spiritual gift. And I encouraged you to seek that out. Today we're going to talk about baptism. And baptism just does not mean getting dunked in a tank. And it does not just mean, again, like what I always took it as meaning is coming forward for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being freaked out by some guy with a huge man hand hitting me on the head and being scared of what's taking place. That was my experience growing up. Scared the bejeebies out of me. And really, and we'll talk more about this and how it was a hindrance, I believe, to my growth as a believer. In the biblical sense, the word baptism simply means immersed. I preached on this a couple years ago, and I took some of that and some new thoughts and different things as we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit today, but it means just that, immersed, completely saturated, covered, dunked. So like when we do water baptism here, we believe in total immersion, you know, baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We'll get to that one. But you know, you go under the water. Now, an exception to that, all I'll say is this. I'm not saying, so if you say, well, Pastor, I was baptized. I knew what I was, that this was an outward profession of an inward work in my life, but I was only sprinkled. So you're saying I'm not baptized? No, I'm not. Like, Jackie got baptized a couple years ago, and it was difficult, the idea of going underwater. And I remember we were across the street, and, you know, we sprinkled water over her, and that was baptism. It was her public profession of the work that God did in her life. So, baptism, it means immersion. That's the word. Now, again, here's something that really sort of maybe threw a lot of people, but just get past the wordage for a moment and just listen to the message in this. I said a couple years ago, and I'm going to say it again, there are three baptisms that we read about in the Bible. We talked about this last fall in our growth group on the Holy Spirit. How there is a baptism at salvation, the baptism of salvation, there's a baptism of water, and there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And again, it means an immersion. When you get saved, you are immersed into Christ, right?
Yes.
Okay, let me not get off track here. So first one is that, that we are baptized into the body of Christ at salvation. You see, when you get saved, you're not experiencing the joining of a church. It's not how you experience salvation, is by joining a church and signing a card. It's not by reading your Bible every day. It is by the profession out of your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
And that you surrender your life to Him. And at that point, you are brought into His body. Salvation was always intended to be a passionate and vibrant relationship with God. That's why Jesus came. That's why, for God so loved the world, He gave His Son, so that we could be brought back into this relationship. Not to have a duty or an obligation, but just simply to know and be known by God. It was never intended to be a once-a-month club, or for that matter, even a weekly club. It was meant to be brought into a family. God's family. And with that, you have the church. A lot of times we think, okay, salvation is yes, being immersed in Jesus, I get that. But it also means to be immersed in the church, the body of Christ. I've said it a number of times, if I haven't, you'll hear for the first time, but it's impossible to be in love with Jesus and not be in love with His church.
Amen.
You can't do it. Because you can't say, I love the head, but I visit the body occasionally. It doesn't work that way. I question anybody who says that they love Jesus, but they are absent of the body. That's just me. Okay. Salvation is an immersion, not only with Jesus, but with His church. This is how it was always intended. This is how God wanted it to be. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Here's some verses to back up what I'm saying. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some of us are slaves, some of us are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share that same Spirit. Here's that word baptism. We are baptized into a body. We are saved and brought into a body, a family. It's so much more than just believing. Look what Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27 say. For you are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. You see, you literally put Him on in your life. He covers your life. You are immersed in Him. This is the first step that every person who says that they are a believer, a Christian, takes in their journey of knowing God, accepting Jesus as Lord. And there is a supernatural transformation from the inside out that takes place in our lives, where the Spirit is brought to life, the Spirit of Christ is brought to life in us, and we are now made a new creation.
Amen.
This is salvation. This happened to the disciples. This week in our growth, or in our Bible reading, we were in John chapter 20. I think it was on Wednesday or Thursday. And as I was going through this, John chapter 20, verse 19 through 22, we actually see salvation take place for Jesus' disciples. This is after the resurrection. It says, that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. Now, I think that's kind of funny. I mean, we probably say it differently now, but have you ever had somebody literally like just, you're doing something and you just like, there's somebody here. And all of a sudden you turn around and they're like right there. And you're like, whoa! And you step back. And what would we say? Hey, it's okay. So that's kind of what it was. It's not like Jesus is coming in and is like, peace be with you. And he's like, hey, it's just me. It's me, Jesus. And he goes on saying, he says, look, touch my hands. Touch my side. Look at my feet. Look at what was where the crown of thorns. It's me. It's Jesus. So as he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. And again, he said, peace be with you. Because again, they're probably just tripping out like, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. He's like, calm down. I've got something to tell you. Peace be with you. Come on, hold yourself here. And so he goes on. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Then, here's the cool thing. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So there's something taking place right here when Jesus was showing them who he was. And he says, it breathed on him. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. I believe this is salvation at this point. They were receiving salvation. The Spirit of Christ came into them and they were transformed into a new creation. At that moment, as he breathed on them, their sins were forgiven. They were brought into right relation with God the Father, and they had this instant communion relationship with God. This was their moment of salvation. We need to understand this, and this is, again, when it comes to doctrine and theology in different churches, we get confused with so many different things, but understand, at this moment, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you.
Amen.
Now, if you've been raised in church like me, this is probably what you heard. When you get saved, ask Jesus into your heart. Well, theologically, those words aren't correct. Because as you continue reading your Bible, you find out that Jesus, right now, after Acts chapter 1, says that he ascended into heaven, the ascension, and the Bible tells us that Jesus is actually right now at the right hand of God the Father, and that he is interceding on our behalf before him. So the thought is, okay, well, if Jesus is in heaven, then how can he be in my heart? Well, it's the Spirit of Christ, who is the Holy Spirit, that lives inside of you. And it is your spirit, that's the part that comes to life at salvation. You can read in John chapter 3 and hear about, you know, spiritual birth and those sort of things. But understand this. This is their experience of salvation. You see, when you are saved, the Holy Spirit is in you. Now, here's the cool thing about the Gospels. You know, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and these are three different men inspired by the Holy Spirit, as we read that the Word of God is in 2 Timothy 3:16, that it is God-breathed. And so you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and these are their experiences of the gospel. So here you have John writing about how this time was after the resurrection, how Jesus showed up and said, peace be with you, showed him everything, and then they were saved. Now, the Gospel of Luke gives the same account, but a different perspective. And we see as he shares the same things, but then in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, this is what Jesus says. He says, and now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. John doesn't show this, but here Luke shows this. Well, Jesus, if you just breathed on us and breathed the Holy Spirit on us and we're saved, then why do we have to keep waiting for the Holy Spirit to come to us again? Because as I'm going to be talking about, I believe this is a different baptism. He's not talking anymore about being saved. He's talking about being empowered by the Holy Spirit and immersion into the Holy Spirit. And I'll get more into just, so just stick with me. This is important because we need to understand that we do receive the Holy Spirit upon salvation. But they had not received, the disciples at this point, the immersion of their lives into the Holy Spirit. So we receive the Holy Spirit into us, but there is a baptism or immersion where we are immersed into the Holy Spirit. Another account of the same experience is in Acts chapter 1. Verses 3 through 5, it says, during the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from the time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. And when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, But in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So here you have in John chapter 20, Luke chapter 24, Acts chapter 1, three accounts of the same instance. Jesus showing up to the disciples after the resurrection, before the ascension, telling them to wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So at this point in their journey with God, all the disciples have been baptized into Jesus. So the second one's water baptism, and I won't take a lot of time with it, but we talk about how water baptism, and I said it today already, is an outward profession of an inward work. So what's the inward work? Salvation, right? It's the work done inside of us. And so we are water baptized, not, it can be, again, an awesome, amazing, and it should be a spiritual experience, but it is not salvation. It is a work. It is something not needed to be saved. Now there are, again, just like there is different thoughts about the baptism of the Holy Spirit or how you're saved or what you're saved into, some people say, well, if you're not baptized in Jesus' name only, you are not baptized. Some people say, well, if you're not water baptized, you're not saved. But that is not what the Bible says. There's three specific baptisms, immersions, specifically because God did not want us to think water baptism saves us. He did not in any way, shape, or form want our works or our efforts to be seen as salvation. As we've talked about for the last number of weeks, He wanted salvation, the immersion into salvation, to simply be a gift of grace. Not anything we do on our own, other than confess Christ as Lord. Right. It's important that we understand that. Water baptism is actually recorded 27 times in the New Testament. Acts chapter 2, verse 41, after Peter had preached, at the day of Pentecost, says, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. Now, we know that it's talking about water baptism. So they were immersed in water. Accepting Jesus as your Savior is a private experience that needs to go public. That is what being baptized is all about. If you've ever been married, you probably had a wedding service. Why did you do that? Because you wanted the world to know that you're married now. Why do you wear a ring? Well, my wife makes me wear it. No, but there's a reason why. Because as I'm going through the line at Walmart, some lady is going to be like, hey, how are you? They know there's a ring there. Oh, off limits. And I make her wear one too. There's a reason for it. Why? Because it declares something. Water baptism is your declaration that, hey, I'm God's. I had the private encounter of salvation where He worked inside my life and it was awesome and it was personal and it was intimate. But now people need to know about it. And so you should be water baptized, but you do not need to be water baptized in order to be saved. It is a work after the fact. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. It says, everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. So you're saying, are you saying, Pastor, that if I'm not water baptized, God's going to deny me? No, but I'm saying this, that if you have the opportunity to be baptized in water before your family, you should take it if you haven't.
Amen.
That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
Third is this, the baptism into the Holy Spirit. I don't have it here. I was going to do this and it got taken away from me. But again, imagine one of those little communion cups right here, okay? Right here. It's not here, but you can, but it's, anyways. Imagine it's being full of water. That is how it is when you're saved. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. Completely. This is the way it is. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. But when you're baptized into the Holy Spirit, rather than just being a cup of water or a little glass of water, the Holy Spirit in you, you are immersed into like a milk jug of water or the Holy Spirit, where He's all around you. That's the difference. It's the best way I can describe it. I don't know that it's, you know, the best theological illustration, but that's how it's like. He's all around you. You're immersed in him. Just so I can keep us on track here for a little bit more about all three of these baptisms, look in Acts chapter 8. I'm going to be verse 5, verse 12, and this verses 14 and 17. It should just be all behind me. But here there's a guy named Philip. And it says, Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and he told the people there about the Messiah. And so they accepted Jesus as Lord, a lot of these people. And he dropped down to verse 12 and says, but now the people believed Philip's message as the good news concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. So they believed it. So what he's saying there is, okay, at this point, these people, they accepted the message of Christ and they accepted him as Lord. As a result, many men and women were baptized. Okay? So they heard the message and they were baptized into Christ, accepted the message about Jesus. Then they were baptized in water after that because, not before, because it's not a work of water baptism. It's a declaration of whose you are. And then drop down to verse 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, salvation, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon the believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. There's an order of events taking place here. Yes. I think it's very clear that when you're saved, you're saved. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is in you. And a question that you could have is, well, why would they have to ask them if they received the Holy Spirit? We already know the Holy Spirit's in them at salvation. These people have been baptized in water. They received something else. They received the baptism, or again, the immersion of the Holy Spirit into their lives. Here you see all three immersions taking place in one text. And there's other places throughout the Bible where it shows that as well. Three different experiences. Why did God have to do this? Why did he make it to where you have salvation, water baptism, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Why not just, when you confess Christ, just get it all done at once? You know, say, I accept Jesus, trip into a mud puddle, and all of a sudden you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Because in no way, shape, or form, and I've been saying this, it comes back to this, did God want his people to confuse or mix up salvation as a gift of grace that you can do nothing to get, nothing to get it, with water baptism or the baptism of the Holy Spirit? He didn't want to be about position because what I have done. It's always been about what Jesus has done for us. Amen. So why do we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Some people may not agree with me in saying this, but I'd ask you privately to come talk to me and tell me where you can point it out. But nowhere in the Bible do I see any eternal purpose for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I can't find a verse anywhere. I even Googled it. It's not there. Not that Google's infallible, it's not. But Wikipedia, no, not that either. Doesn't matter where the search engine is or that you use. But water baptism isn't eternal either. It's meant for here and now. The people can see what God's done in our lives, our proclamation, our confession. The baptism of the Holy Spirit as well, it has a temporal purpose. It's for work. It's for doing God's work, building his kingdom here and now. The baptism of the Holy Spirit isn't intended for eternal uses or purposes. It's intended for right now. It's intended for the believer's life once you become saved, to now be empowered and immersed in the Holy Spirit to build the kingdom. Its purpose is to work. It's to do the work that we are called to do. And the thing is, the work that we are called to do is supernatural. Yes. There's power beyond what we can do. This is charismatic. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need that Acts chapter 1, verse 8, right, in our lives, in order to pull off what God has called us to do. Another verse to show the three, again, don't get tripped up by saying baptism, but you know, we'll say three immersions or three parts of our journey, of our walk. 1 John chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. It says, "So we have these three witnesses, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and all three agree." Again, the blood represents at salvation. The blood of Christ was shed for us. Water and baptism, our declaration, proclamation of who Christ is in our lives and the work he's done inside of us. And the Spirit, who empowers us to work for him. There is a spiritual journey that God has for each and every one of us in our lives, and he wants us to take. All I know is this: there is always more that God has for my life.
Amen. Yes.
Even in eternity, we will constantly be becoming more aware of who God is. We'll never fully know him. That blows my mind. And so you may be here this morning and say, "Well, I'm saved, I was water baptized, and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit." You still have not arrived.
Amen. That's right.
There's more that God has for you.
That's right.
You may be saved and water baptized and say, "You know what? I've got what I need." And the truth is this: you have what you need to be saved.
Yes. Yes.
But you can't tell me God doesn't have more for you.
God
always has more. And I said a couple weeks ago, we should always be wanting more. We should always be saying God in our prayers, "God, if you have more, I want it."
Amen.
And also this, you should never be afraid of the good things that God has given us.
Right.
Again, if you've been here any amount of time, you've heard my stories and how I was raised in the church. I mean, I know there was a moment where I confessed Christ, but I've done it so many times. I remember being a little kid. I don't really know when I was saved. The first time I confessed Christ. And I believe it's genuine. I remember probably being 4 or 5 years old for the first time. And so probably very young, literally accepting Christ as Lord. And I knew what I was doing. But just very simple faith. I mean, I've told you before, when I was dedicated in front of the church as a little baby, the pastor, Pastor Veland was his name, he actually said, "This boy has a calling to be a pastor." My parents. I was told that my whole life. I mean, I've always been in the church. I have known nothing else. I remember being probably 7, 8, 9 years old and getting the idea, or not the idea, but hearing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and thinking, "I want that." I knew I was saved and thinking, "I want more." But then I also remember being freaked out, again, by what I observed, what I thought I would have to go through, my own misconceptions about what it would be like. And so I was always reserved and held back. I remember when altar calls would come and they would say, "Anybody who wants to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, come up now." And seeing people fall over and different things, thinking, I want God, but I don't want that. It's just, I mean, I am being honest. I mean, if anything you'll get from me as a pastor, you're going to hear how I feel about things. But I remember always still wanting it. And then I'd feel guilty, like, "Why can't I have it?" And I remember God specifically saying, "Brian, let go of yourself and just trust me." And I also remember thinking, "No. No." And so I didn't. But I still wanted it. I remember being at different points, different opportunities, and just it not happening. So fast forward at 19 years old, so much has happened in my life. I've been called of God, getting ready to go into Bible college, all these different things taking place at a junior high camp in Cedar Springs, and thinking, "I want this. I want it so bad." So Wednesday night came around, which is always Holy Spirit night, and the speaker came, and he said, "Okay, all of you who are baptized in the Holy Spirit, over there, start praying. All of you who want it, over here, you're going to get prayed for." And so I went with all the kids that are, all the leaders who are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because I was ashamed. I was thinking, "I'm a leader here. How should, I should already have this done in my life. So I'm just going to hide and come over here and make up words, say the alphabet backwards, and I'm not going to..." There's a lot of different things, but anyways, I remember just feeling this weight on me, like, "You hypocrite." Really, it was condemnation, but at the same time, you know, God makes all things work together for good. So as the devil, I believe, was attacking me, making me feel low, I was getting hungrier and hungrier and hungrier and hungrier. And finally I said, enough. And I was looking for my youth pastor and he wasn't around. And there's this other guy, his name was Jeff. And he's actually the senior pastor at Stone Church in Yakima now. But he was a youth pastor of the same age as my youth pastor. I went to Jeff and I said, Jeff, I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So bad. I don't have it. And honestly, he did everything wrong. But he did the exact same thing he was taught in the AG school or this or that. He goes, okay. He's like, lift your hands. We're going to pray for you. He's like, do you have it yet? And I was like, I don't know. Well, just let it out of your mouth. Just start. And I remember him saying, baby talk. And I'm thinking, what? And I remember his breath stunk so bad. And he was about 2 inches taller than me, and he was just like, right there. He's like, come on. And I was like, this is the very thing I didn't want. And I just started mumbling stuff. I was like, oh, you got it, yay. And I'm thinking, this is a crock. That was my thought. This is garbage. Frustrated, broken, my pride finally gone is really what's taking place. I remember going up front and his worshiping, just thinking, this is stupid. But I want you so much, God. I want more of you. And I just sat there and I worshiped for about 5 or 6 minutes, and all of a sudden, it was just like that. Immersion. I can't fully describe it, but I just felt like I was dunked. And I felt like the Spirit saying, just let me come out of you. I'm already in you. Let me flow out. And I remember thinking in my mind, like, how do I do that? But I was just worshiping. I remember literally just letting my jaw drop. And I don't remember a lot after that. Not like I fell out. It wasn't. I remember just worshiping. And I didn't understand what I was saying. That's all I really remember. And I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I knew for sure at that moment that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and nothing could take that away from me. No person, no doctrine, I know what I experienced. And I know what I continually experience to this day was this third baptism that we read about. It doesn't make me a better Christian than anybody else. All you need is your cup filled to be saved. And you can live life with your cup filled. But I'm saying that life is better when you're dunked, when your cup is dunked in the tank. Amen. And you can do a greater degree of the works that God has called you to do. I need to speed up here. So how? How are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? If you've been here any amount of time, I don't make the invitation the way that it was the way I was raised. I don't think you need to do that. And we've seen proof of that, that the Holy Spirit baptizes. He gives the gift of baptism, the Holy Spirit, as he wants to. But how do we do this? Just 4 simple points. Number 1 is this. You have to remove the barriers that are in your way. For my life, the reason why I believe I was not baptized in the Holy Spirit at age 8 or 9 or 14 or 15 was because I had barriers in my life that kept me from that. Like a dam, right? Holding it back. My pride was 1, and I knew that. I remember thinking, I will not go down there. I will not look like a fool in front of this whole church. Everyone's going to be looking at me. What's going to happen? So my pride was 1. My 2 is my misconceptions. You can even say my prejudices. I prejudged what I thought it would be like. And I found for me, in my life, constantly, my biggest struggles is my mind. I like to understand things. I need to know how it works. I need to know why it's working. My biggest struggle, it's faith. Taking that step outside of what I know and believing that I can still go forward at that point. And so when I removed my pride and when I let go of my thinking, I said, you know what, I don't get it, but I have to step into it. That's when it happened for me. I had to remove the barriers that were in the way for me going forward with this baptism. I had to finally accept the fact that God has more steps for me to take in my spiritual journey other than my baptism into salvation experience, my water baptism experience. There has to be more. There should be a hunger that should never be quenched. And here's the thing too. When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, then you start taking those steps into deeper ministry and works that God has for you. I think we all know barriers that we have in our lives. Mine may be different than yours. Maybe problems in your marriage. It may be, again, pride. It may be a secret sin. And I know this from my own life when God's saying, Brian, get this out of the way. He didn't say fix it. I mean, he said, Brian, get this out of the way. You're in the way here. You want this, get it out of the way. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39. It says, Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God. Salvation, right? And be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins into water. Then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God.
Amen.
Get saved, get baptized in water, and then you're ready for this. Now, again, the only part of the order that's necessary is the first, saved. Because we'll see in other places, like in Acts chapter 10, where they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then Peter said, who are we, if the Holy Spirit's going to baptize into him, who are we to deny them being baptized in water?
That's right.
Okay, so again, it's those two can be flopped. And this is what I want to say. This is a promise, not just for the book of Acts. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'm a liar.
Yes.
And if I'm a liar, you shouldn't come to church here. Seriously. That's what I mean by that. This... I'm not ignorant. I'm not stupid. I'm not going to be duped. I've experienced this.
Amen.
Yeah.
It happened then. It happens today. So get rid of the barriers. So number two is this. Once you remove those barriers, you have to ask for it. Request the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I always tell people simply this. Just ask for it.
Right.
You know, and again, going back to my childhood and even how I did things wrong, I believe, for so many years. I remember as a youth pastor, and we'd have Holy Spirit night in our youth group meetings, and kids desperately wanting it and nothing happening. And because I think we were teaching it wrong. We were miscommunicating how to receive it. And I'd say, you know what? I came to this thought. If all I have to do is confess Christ as Lord to be saved, that's really easy, right? To be water baptized, all you got to do is sign your name on a sheet and hear about what it's entailed and get dunked. And so the question I have is, why is it so hard to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Why is there so much frustration, like I felt? Guilt of not being good enough. Shame. All these. Because that's not how it's done. As easy as it is to be saved and baptized in water, it's that easy to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You ask to receive it. The Holy Spirit and all that he has is good. And if it's good for you, we should want it. This is a prayer to ask to receive the Holy Spirit, his baptism, that anybody can pray that knows Jesus as Lord. You can trust God that all he has for you is good. You can't make it normal because it's supernatural.
That's right.
You can live a normal Christian life. Go to heaven, do good things, and all that's good. I'm not trying to downside any of it, but God didn't call us to a normal Christian life.
Right.
He called us to a supernatural Christian life. I don't want to be a normal Christian. Honestly, normal is not enough. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. It's just to reaffirm how easy it is. Jesus says, so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give what?
To you.
The Holy Spirit to those who ask for him.
Amen.
I believe that some here today just need to pray that simple prayer.
Right.
And it's just this. God, I know I'm saved.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have more, I want it.
Amen.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
And say, and here's the thing too, I'm not asking you not to be skeptical of it. Say,
yeah.
I don't understand this baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't even know if I completely believe what Pastor Brian says. I know he's a good guy, but you know, I just don't know. But I know this. I don't have all of you that I can have. I know that. And I want more. And if all that he's preaching in the Bible is true and properly interpreted, I want that in my life. We request this. Third is this. So now you need to receive it. And we receive this gift in faith. And the key word, again, is faith. Like I said, I'm just being, again, honest. Faith scares me. It always has, more than anything else, because I never completely know what's going to happen. And it's kind of exhilarating. You know, have you ever done something like, I don't know, whoa, that was awesome. You didn't know until after you did it, right? It's kind of scary, but we don't have to be afraid of it. God, the Holy Spirit, will make you take a leap of faith.
Amen.
To receive this baptism. A place where it's beyond what you know yourself, and you have to trust God for it. You're not going to understand it all. You can't know all that's known about it. You can't read enough books about it. You have to experience it. I believe God is inviting all of us to take a step into something that we don't fully know or understand. If we understood it and fully knew it, it wouldn't be faith. If you fully understood salvation before you accepted it, it wouldn't be faith.
That's right.
Yep. This is the foundation of faith. That we don't know everything. I'm going to speed up here really quick. I'll say 3 minutes, that way I can be done in five. Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 3-5. I think this kind of shows a progression. It says, measuring as he went. Now, this is Ezekiel, and he's having a vision, I think, of the New Jerusalem. He says, he took me along the stream for 1,750 feet, and then he led me across. The water was up to my ankles. He measured off another 1,750 and led me across again. This time, the water was up to my knees. After another 1,750, it was up to my waist. Then he measured another 1,750, and the river was too deep to walk across. It was deep enough to swim in, but too deep to walk across. And this isn't mine, but when I was gathering stuff up about this message, I thought, this is good. And this other preacher you talked about, they said, you know, when you get saved, the water's at ankle deep.
Yeah, come on.
You're saved.
Yeah.
You're in the river of life. And you can stay ankle deep. But then, you know, you walk across again, and it's up to your knees. And for this guy, and I thought, he said this, and I thought, I can relate to this. He said, that was the first time that I raised my hands in worship. He's like, I got a deeper sense of worship. He's like, wow, I'm just not saved now. I'm in the church a little bit. I can feel the water moving past me. He says, then you get up to your waist. And, you know, you're maybe going into a ministry or you're trying to find a calling that God has for your life. And he says, all those three parts are great and they're good and you're saved in that. He said, but here's the thing, you're still on the ground.
Come on.
He said, ultimately, you're still in control. You still know what it feels like, all these different things. He says, but when you go across that next time and the water's over your head and you have to jump in, he says, now you go where the water goes.
That's right.
That's good.
You're led by the Spirit.
Yes.
And I thought, wow, that's awesome. And I was thinking about, because today we're going to go swimming after church, and every time, tell me if you're with me here, I'm good at my ankles on the beach. Oh, this water feels so nice, it's refreshing. My knees, I'm good. The waist is always difficult for me.
Yeah.
Maybe you can relate, but you're like, you know, you hit the waist, you're like, oh, now it feels good. But then there's always that hesitation when you're right on the edge and there's that deep hole and you're like, I'm gonna jump in. And if you're you're like, one, two, three, and you jump in the water, right? And you know how when you hit that cold tilt in water and your head hits the water and it's just like cold, and you come back up and you're refreshed, and you're just sort of floating there in the water, right? Your spiritual journey is a lot like that. You go through these different parts. And you know, you're at your ankle deep in water when you're saved. In your knees, you're maybe digging a little bit deeper and you're worshiping and you're letting yourself be free with God. And then in your waist, you're finding your calling and your purpose. But then you're like, I need more. I need to go all in. And I really believe that's what it is. When I say, God, I'm not in control anymore. It's not what I can know. All I know is I need more.
Yes.
And I think as believers, we're always wanting this, right? I skipped a verse earlier, but it's Ephesians chapter 5, 18, and it says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that verse, I think you could put a lot of different things there, but I think what it's trying to say is, don't find fulfillment in something else. You know, just like you have this hole in your life that needs can only be filled with God and salvation, there's a purpose and more that can only be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul wrote that, I believe. He says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's writing to the church of Ephesus. Maybe it's a church full of drunks, I don't know. But he's saying, stop that and take the Spirit instead, because this is what you really need. We need more. I want to just encourage you to keep stepping into God. Hebrews 11:6 says, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. We seek him in faith. And here's the thing. God knows our hearts. He knows where you are at right now. He's not looking for perfection. And I used to think this. When I'm good enough, then he'll baptize me in the Holy Spirit. When I work hard enough, then this will happen. And he's saying, no, just get out of the way. That was my thing. Just get out of the way. Have faith. If you feel like you don't have faith for that, ask him to give you the faith to take another step. So we remove barriers. We request in prayer. We receive it in faith. And to four is this. Why do we do all this? So that we can relate. So that we can have this relationship daily that's deeper than a cup full of water. I want to just close now with prayer. And I want to do it. If you would just bow your heads for a moment. Nothing weird or crazy. And here's my challenge to you. Seek deeper. I believe with all of my heart that if you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, all you have to do is ask for it. Remove the barriers, request, receive, so you can have a deeper relationship. And I challenge you to do this. During your private time with God, which I hope is every day, you say, God, you know, I heard what Pastor Brian said. I can see how this is possible. I want to get myself out of the way. And just say to him, say, God, I want to be baptized in your Holy Spirit. And then I would encourage you to wait. And everybody's experiences may be different. For me, I told you how it was, but I remember what I felt. I felt something inside of me, and I was telling the guys in our Tuesday morning Bible study a couple weeks ago. There's a guy named Smith Wigglesworth, and he uses the word unction of the Holy Spirit, and he talks about a fire in the belly. And I felt something welling up, and I felt like I had to let it out. That's how it was for me, and then I was immersed into it. But do that, and at some point, I believe you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I've had people that have told me from this church that they were sleeping at night and they were dreaming that they were speaking in tongues, and they woke up and they were speaking in tongues, a prayer language. And my only thought is this, okay, if God couldn't get you while you were conscious, he had to wait till you were asleep until you would actually release yourself completely to him. I've had people that during their devotion time, just like how I said, where they felt something and they just let it out and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. I've had people in church as we pray, it happens. So that you can relate to him. But I want to just pray this prayer right now over you. It's actually the Message Bible, which I really like. And Paul always writes these great introductions to his books, and then he gives a great final word. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, or 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, he says, the amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ. So he's talking about these different things. That amazing grace, that's salvation, again. The first step we take is salvation. Believe in our heart, confess our mouth that Christ is Lord, and you will be saved. The extravagant love of God. You know, you may be here today and you feel, oh, I know I'm saved, but I just feel like an idiot, or I'm not worthy, or this has broken my life. God can fix things, and he does. And he wants you to experience his extravagant love. He wants to soften us up, right? the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe that with all my heart. Be with you all in Jesus' name. That's my prayer. That we know salvation, that we experience His love, and we have an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. His grace, His love, and His friendship. Father, this morning, I ask for open hearts and minds to you and your word. I ask, Lord, that maybe some people that have never heard this before, that they just be open to more of you. It's not open more of to me or cleverness or a church doctrine, or it's just open to your word. Father, I ask that you give us clear minds to submit to your word. That we would trust you and we'd say that there's nothing that you have given us that's good that is going to harm us. And that we would just take a step deeper in faith in seeking out the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And Father, I ask that you would just right now by your Holy Spirit start leading us in that direction. That you just soften our lives, that you would remove the barriers, that we'd start asking for you. And Father, give us the faith to receive. Because I do know that there is more that we can have of you until we take our last breath and then into eternity. Father, I thank you for how you have made us and how you have made our relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.